Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
Football match, once it is halftime, everybody go and rest. Halftime is a time to sit down and check again. What are we doing? How are we doing what we're doing? Halftime is an opportunity to strategize, to re-strategize. Halftime is a time to look again. Are there places where you ought to be thankful? Are there places, areas where you ought to be grateful to God? Are there places or areas where you should re-strategize and do better? Halftime gives us an opportunity that we don't have to wait to the end before we check our works. We don't have to wait to the end. We can as well do it now and see if we can start better again. Wise people take opportunity of using halftime judiciously. They check their work. They check the faithfulness of God in their lives. As believers, we are taught in Christ to be thankful. We are taught in Christ to look out for how good He has been to us. There's not one of us here who will look to Jesus and say, "You've been bad to me." There's not one of us here who will look to God and say, "You've been bad to me." None of us can do that. Hallelujah. You know, I've always been fascinated by the universe, the handwork of God. You know, David said so. He said, "When I consider thy works, the works of thy hand, the moon and the stars which thou hast made, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him." What is man? You know, I saw a video on the internet and I shared on my WhatsApp status I think last week or 2 weeks ago. How small are we? You know, how small are we? In fact, it's two ways. If you want to look at how big are we, you look at the smaller parts of life. Man looks so big. There is a world, a whole world. There's a micro world and it exists. But also there is the bigger world. Hallelujah. Now when you look at quantum physics and this, you know, science teaching us about this world that we live in, you are amazed at the wonder of God. At the wonder of God. This whole earth that we are in is nothing. It's not the whole world is nothing compared to space and the entire universe. It's nothing. It is said that the sun, that you can have 1 million Earths. You can size it into the sun. You can size about 1.2 million of this whole world. If you are to bring the size of the sun, you will gather like 1 million, over 1 million of Earths, and it will enter the sun and there will be space. That's the sun is that bigger. Now, I didn't say 100. Think about that. And the sun is a star, and it is even a junior star. It is said that the bigger stars are at least 1 million times more than the sun. Larger. Think about how small we are. So when David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of? When I consider the works of thy hand, the moon and the stars which thou hast made, what is man? Why are you so interested in this tiny little insignificant creature?" When you are grateful to God for what He's done, for who He is, that He brought you here for a purpose, and that he's willing to live inside you and to fulfill his purpose in your life and to give you eternal life. Everything we are struggling for in this world pales. Everything becomes nothing. Everything we're fighting for, everything we're struggling for, everything we are exercising ourselves negatively become nothing. When you see him in his glory, you know that all that matters is to fix your gaze on him and to worship him. Praise the Lord. But I want to share with you something this morning, and I hope it's not going to take me time. I'm just going to take a short while to share, you know, something the Lord has placed in my heart, which I would title, it's part of our series on, you know, godly reverence with Pastor Shegun, started at the beginning of this month. It is the preaching of the cross. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's something Paul said concerning the cross. Jesus said concerning the cross. And the apostle said concerning the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I read from verse 17 into 18. First Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. To them that perish, it is foolishness. To us being saved, it is the power of God." Galatians chapter 5, Paul is still talking. And verse 11. "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? If I preach the law of the Jews," he said, "why am I being persecuted? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." So there is what is called the offense of the cross. In verse 14, Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world." So I want to talk about the cross of Christ. First off, hear me. Make this in points so that I will take it very fast. Point number one. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of sacrifice. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of sacrifice. The preaching of the cross is the message of the sacrifice which Jesus made for us. How that he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead, according to the scriptures. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of sacrifice. Keep that as number one. Point number two. So first, number one, the preaching of the cross is the preaching of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Number two, the preaching of the cross is a call to a life of sacrifice. Paul said, "By the cross of Jesus Christ, the world is crucified to me and I to the world." First, the preaching of the cross is that Jesus was crucified on the cross, and therein lies our salvation. Next, by that same cross, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, we are dead to each other. We are separated forever. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," verse 1, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living what? sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, and this is your reasonable service. The preaching of the cross is a call to a life of sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing like living for God without sacrifice. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. John 12, 23 and 24. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul made sacrifice for the gospel and was glad. He was glad for it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, I'm going to read it to you into verse 8. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The word loss there means to give up something. It means sacrifice. Hallelujah. So that's point number two. Point number three. All these things, we bring them together by the help of God. Point number three. The preaching of the cross is a call to continuous sacrifice. There is nothing like a one-time sacrifice that you make for life in Christianity. It's got to be a continuous sacrifice. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Would you turn there, please? Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He says continually. Continually. So there's nothing like a one-time sacrifice. It's got to be continuous. Point number four. Just before I come to point number four. How many of you have ever heard of the book, Fox's Book of Matter? It's an important book I think every Christian should have. We were asked to go get it in Bible school, and I had to get my copy. A very voluminous book. It's been written again and again for generations been added to it. Every generation comes out like they add to it. Because it's a book that documents the sacrifices fellow believers have had to make for this same gospel. People have died. People have been given to lions to feed on because of the preaching of the gospel. Have you ever seen a lion or a hungry lion eating? I think I've seen one. Very far on TV. And I would not like to be the lunch of a hungry lion. But believers, a lot gave up themselves for this cause. There comes a time in our lives we must check and count the cost. Sometimes it looks like the version of Christianity that a lot of people have is a convenience version and not the version of sacrifice. People want the easy way. People want it easy. People want a Christianity of fun. But the Christianity that Jesus brought to us, the preaching of the cross, is a call to sacrifice. And every believer must be willing to make sacrifices for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you point number four. The preaching, point number four. Give me first. What is point number one? Let me know whether you got it. What's point number one? The preaching of the cross is the preaching of sacrifice. Good. Point number two? The preaching of the cross is a call to a life of sacrifice. Thank you. Point number three? The preaching of the cross is a call to continuous sacrifice. Point number four? The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to who? To everyone that believes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is what? Is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. In the cross is power. Can I tell you something? There is no cult, society, religion that exhibits power without sacrifice. Let me share with you a story. The story of the Moabite king in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 3. Let me give you the background so we don't have to read much. There was war between the Israelites and the Moabites. Israel was winning the battle. They were really going at it and winning. But then something happened. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even to the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead. He took the most important thing in his life as a king, which is an heir, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. Now this is not unto God. This is unto the God of the Moabites. But there was something that happened. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their land. This man saw that the Israelites were winning in the war against him and against his nation. He thought about it. If these people actually win, they will capture me, capture my son. What's the point? He thought about it. What should I do? What should I do? And then he knew that power is released via sacrifice. What does he do? He gets a hold of his son, his firstborn son, the most important person in his life and the most important thing, and sacrificed him on the altar. The altar of Chemosh, the god of the Moabites. Guess what happened? The Bible says there was indignation against Israel. And suddenly, Israel knew they could not move further. They had to back out. Learn this principle, brothers and sisters. Sacrifice will always release power. Did you hear what I said? Sacrifice will always release power. The power that saved us came because the man, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, gave his life. And therein is the power for our salvation. Therein is the power for our redemption. In the same way, listen to me. If God is going to use you, he's going to ask you to make sacrifices for his kingdom. If God is going to do great things with your life, if God is going to do mighty things with your life, if God is going to fulfill his plan upon your life, brothers and sisters, there has to be a sacrifice. Do you now understand why, you know, cults make sacrifice? It's not just about God. It is a principle of the spirit. It's a spiritual law. Only when sacrifices are done is power released. Do you now understand why men of God take time to go fast, deny themselves food, deny themselves television, deny themselves the conveniences of life, and come out with power? Somebody say he paid the price. Well, actually, what is going, you know, some people now come out and say, well, Jesus paid all the price. You need not do anything for power. And you are correct. For by the death of Jesus Christ, all power of God has been made available unto you. Acts 1:8. It says, you shall receive power, right? After that, the Holy Ghost is come on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. But do you know why a lot of Christians, although have the power of God, never are able to demonstrate it? They are unwilling to make sacrifices for the kingdom. The preaching of the cross is a preaching of sacrifice, not conveniences. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? If God is going to use you, you have to be willing to give up something. Give up something. And that is what sacrifice is. It means to give up something for his glory. It is to give up something for his sake. Jesus said, if you cannot carry your cross, you cannot be my disciple. He says, if you will be my disciple, you must be willing to take up your cross daily and follow me. We cannot build more churches if people are not ready for sacrifice. We cannot raise strong churches if people are not willing to make sacrifice. To serve God is to make sacrifices. There is no serving God without sacrifice. To walk with God, he will demand that you make certain sacrifices for his name's sake. And you must be willing to make it. Listen, brothers and sisters, there are no shortcuts to the will of God. Are you hearing me? There is no shortcut to the power of God. The only cut is the cut of sacrifice. You must make sacrifices. Sometimes we as pastors are nervy to call people to make sacrifices for the gospel. We are afraid of being, we are afraid of people's outrage. How can you ask him to do this? How can you ask her to do this? So we are nervy to ask people to make sacrifices because we are afraid of what responses will be. But I've long ago learned that's Satan's deception. I've long ago learned not to back down. I've long ago learned to boldly lead people into sacrificing for the gospel. Listen, you cannot serve God without making sacrifices. The Christian faith was built on the foundation of sacrifice. It must grow on sacrifice. Blood was shed for this faith to stand. Blood was shed for it to grow. If you cannot shed your blood, shed your sweat. Hallelujah. Jesus was clear about it. If you are not ready for sacrifice, you cannot be my disciple. Isn't it amazing how much sacrifices we make for every other thing? Look at the sacrifices that immigrants make. I heard about the story of an immigrant who was trying to travel from Ghana to, I think, Switzerland or something like that. He wanted to go to Europe. He was telling his story. One time they hid in a ship. They caught them. They threw them in a sea where there is sharks. He was able to survive. He came out only to find himself that he's in Liberia. From there, he found his way back to his hometown and went again. 3 times, he kept trying to go to Europe. Each time, one calamity befell. When they catch him, he will go back. Think about the sacrifices people make. One told the story. I had a story about a black man who, he said, he and his 6 friends, they trekked, walking through the deserts. Because they were trying to get to Europe. He said all his friends died in that trip. Only him survived. All of them died. Think about how people risk their life because they want to be a citizen of an European nation. How about being a citizen of heaven? How about making such sacrifices for the kingdom? Think about the sacrifice that doctors make. A doctor goes to school and all he's doing is spending years studying to be a doctor. He spends at least 6 or 7 years to become a doctor. And even then, he's still a small boy doctor. He has to be a specialist. And then that takes him another 5 years or 6 years, depending on what he's specializing on. I heard there's a particular specialty where to specialize in, I think it is neurosurgery, something like that, that has to do with the brain. It takes 12 years extra. After you've graduated from medical school, 12 more years to become a specialist. And they do it. Give 2 years to studying the scriptures like that. People say you're wasting your time. Think about it. Think about what accountants, bankers, the sacrifices they make. Sometimes they are asked to come back to work on Saturday and Sunday. Some of them work before daybreak. They have left the house. Think about the sacrifices. Even beyond accountants and bankers, many in Lagos, in this part of the world, many wake up very early, 4 a.m., go into their place of work, come back very late at night, and they do that every day. But give 2 hours to the service of God, it becomes trouble. I don't have time. I'm very busy. The truth is that we all must make sacrifices wherever it is important to us. Wherever it is important to you. Jesus said, fix your eyes. That's what Paul said. He said, let's set your affections on things above. Jesus said, where the treasure of a man is, there his heart will be also. We all make sacrifices in the areas where it's important to us. But you need to understand that the kingdom of God is eternal life. When it comes to the service of your God, there must be no negotiation. You must be willing to make same kind of sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. You must be willing. Go and study every man whom God used with great power. You'll find sacrifice. Go and study people. I'm not even talking just ministers. Those who preach behind the pulpit. Go and find out all Christian laborers who did mighty things for the kingdom. Behind their life, you will find sacrifice. Glory to God. That's why fasting is effective. That's why spending time to pray when you are tired is effective. There's nothing special about praying in the midnight, except that you are sacrificing sleep. Every time there is a sacrifice, what did I say? Power is released. Learn that principle. Every time there's a sacrifice, power is released. Power is released. What are you willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm calling you today. I'm asking you today. What are you willing to give up for the work of God? Some of us have lost friends. When TFF started, I lost friends. Many of them I still wish are my friends today. I lost friends. I gave up my job. I worked in the bank. I gave up my job to answer the call for ministry. I'm not saying every one of us to do that. Don't get me wrong. But you must find your place where God is asking you to make sacrifices for his kingdom. And sacrifice must be continuous. You must be willing to give your time. You must be willing to give your money. You see, that's why giving in the house of God is that important. And that's why the devil seeks to attack it. Because once you don't give your money, you will serve it. Once you are unwilling to make financial sacrifice for the kingdom of God, that money will serve your flesh. That's how it works. Once you are unwilling to sacrifice your time for the kingdom of God, your time will go into serving the flesh. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Jesus is calling you to take up your cross and follow him. Take up your cross. Make up your mind today that you're going to spend the next 6 months in true service to the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm telling you today? Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? Make up your mind that you are going to be willing to give whatever Jesus demands from you. Some of you, you need to give up certain relationships that you have involved yourself in. You know that is what is holding you from serving God. But you are telling yourself, my time is ticking. If I leave this one, where will I see another? You are talking like a man who knows not God, a woman who doesn't know God. You know that this particular relationship is the reason you are not committed to the service of God. But you are still there. Don't you understand? In this kingdom, that's how we do. We make sacrifices. For some of you, you will lose your job to stand for what is right. Don't you understand? It's part of the Christian faith. For some of you, you will lose friends to stand for what is right. Don't you understand? That's the demand of the kingdom. You must be willing, brothers and sisters, to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.